song they just sang, it's shoulders, and it's absolutely true. My help is from God. It's from God. You know, the psalmist says this, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. We're in this series, Fruit Ninja, and we've been examining our lives. We've been looking at fruit that God, through the Holy Spirit, wants to produce in your life and in mine. You know, what kind of fruit? Well, we've been going through these, but the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. The Holy Spirit is working in us, guiding us, encouraging us, strengthening us, helping us so that we grow in our lives, so that we grow in our spiritual lives. You know, Jesus said this. He said, my Father is glorified when you produce much fruit, and in this way, prove that you're my disciples. Fruit is proof that you're a disciple of Jesus Christ. Fruit producing in our life is key to experiencing the abundant life that Jesus Christ promised. Now, I want you to see if you can identify with this in any way. Let's say you're on your way home. It's been a really hard day at work, and you stop by the store. You're getting your groceries. You get your cart loaded, and you're in a long line waiting patiently. I know that'll be a stretch for some of you, but you're waiting patiently. You're one spot from being able to unload your cart. And the cashier next to the lane next to you says, hey, step over here, I'm opening. And so as you go to head over there, somebody from the back of the line goes, takes your spot, and then you look back to the line you just got out of, and now it's closed in and it's six deep. My question is, what do you do? What happens in that moment? Or maybe you could identify with this. You're at work, you've been vying for a promotion, and it is announced, but you don't get the promotion. And to make matters worse, the person that gets the promotion, you do not think deserves it. What do you do in that moment? What's your response? Because our natural inclination is that there's hurt and there's anger. Our BP kind of picks up at that point. Our heart starts racing. You know, when somebody makes us mad, when somebody hurts our feelings, when things don't go the way we plan, we want to kind of launch out with heat-seeking words. Words that are targeted to destroy, to hurt other people. You know, some of us can imagine becoming kind of Denzel. You know, become the equalizer. You know, get a little justice. Vent and let everybody know what we're thinking. But the Bible says there's another way. In fact, the Bible says in every situation in life, no matter what it is, that we are to respond with the supernatural fruit of gentleness. And I know as I say that, especially some of the guys here, they've already tuned me out now. You know, they're like, Damon, I get patience. I understand kindness, but really, gentleness? I mean, are you suggesting that I go to the work site or I go to the office and that I'm to be gentle? I mean, that is not going to work. It will not work in the society, in the culture that we live in. Gentleness makes no sense. But friends, I will tell you, the Bible says that we can be gentle and that we should be gentle. As followers of Jesus Christ, we're called by God to be gentle. You know, Paul writes this, he says, let your gentleness be evident to all, the Lord is near. What's Paul mean by that, by gentleness? You know, the word gentle in the Greek, it means strength under control. Strength under control. It's a word picture of like a wild stallion that's been broken, been trained. It's a powerful animal, but it's gentle enough that you can ride it. See, as gentle people, we're to be able to respond to the things of life under God's control. In other words, we don't overreact. We don't say things that we'll regret. You know, we don't damage relationships. We think about what we're going to do. We think about what we're going to say. See, that's gentleness. And there really are two important things that you got to understand about gentleness. I mean, if you're going to bear this kind of fruit in your life, first you have to recognize that you cannot produce it on your own. You will not become a gentle person on your own. It is a product. It is a product of the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit working in you. So the fact that you go, gentleness, I don't get it. That's okay. Holy Spirit will help you get there. It doesn't come natural. It's a gift from God. And the second thing that you need to realize, gentleness is a choice. It is a choice. It's a decision that you make to put your life under God's control instead of other people having control. In other words, as a follower of Jesus Christ, you have to make a choice to be gentle. You know, Jesus says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. And if you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Again, as followers, we're branches. We're all branches. Jesus is the vine. We're connected to the vine of Jesus. And that vine, Jesus provides us our nourishment. He provides us everything that we need to grow. But here's the deal. If we're not connected, if you're not connected to Jesus Christ, you know what happens? You die. Because you're not part of the vine. You know, in fact, the Bible says that we become worthless as a branch. And then we'll be thrown into the fire. So, as I was thinking about this week, I was like, okay, so what does being connected to the vine look like in our lives? I've got a friend, Kevin, his mom, she passed away a few years ago, but some of you probably knew her, Sandy Dunlap. And Garth and Sandy both attended here. They were part of the Faith Fellowship family. But Sandy had this saying, and she used to use it a lot. She, when things got kind of twisted, you know, when something was a little out of hand, she'd look at a situation that was a little bit of a challenge or was perplexing or whatever. She would say, and she always said it with a little sarcasm, peachy. You know, and so what I want to do is I'm going to go peachy today. Because we can become gentle people. We can face the challenges of life under God's control. We can get strength by being under God's control. And I believe if the things we're going to talk about today, if you put them into practice, it'll result in fruit in your life, and particularly peachy fruit. You know, so P stands for personality. Gentle people put their personality under God's control. Do you know your character traits make up your personality? You know, what are character traits? Well, here's some good character traits. Honesty, integrity, humility, compassion. Those are all things that we love for other people to have, right? You want people to have those things. Negative things? Well, things like rudeness, vindictiveness, moodiness. And here's the deal. All of us, okay, everybody here, we have some character traits that need some adjusting. All of us. In fact, turn to your neighbor and say, that means you. Oh, come on, say it with joy. The fact is, if we were really honest, some of us have character traits that need to be sliced off, need to get rid of. And so prepare for battle a little bit, because I know initially there's going to be a little bit of resistance. But friends, God loves you. And he loves you so much that he's not going to let you stay the same. God's committed to working in you, helping you grow, helping you mature, helping you become a better you. You know, Jesus, his closest friends, I think, were Peter, James, and John. And I will tell you, all three of those guys had major character flaws. When you read through Scripture, you just sometimes shake your head. You know, there's a story in Luke 9, and Jesus and the disciples are traveling to Jerusalem, and they need to stop for the evening, and they need somewhere to stay. So Jesus has a couple of the disciples run ahead of them and secure some reservations, you know. And the political leaders, the religious leaders, they realize that Jesus is coming to town, and they kind of freak out. I mean, they don't want the crowds, they don't want the controversy that comes with Jesus, and they do not want Jesus to enter their city. And so they tell the disciples, he's not welcome here. And so the disciples go to Jesus, and they say, we're not welcome. I love this. When the disciples, James and John, saw this, when they heard this, when this all was unfolding, they said, Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven to destroy them? Woohoo! Hello. James and John were not gentle guys. They came by it honestly, I think, because you remember their mom was the one that approached Jesus and said, I need you to make my boys the most prominent that there are. You need to put them at your right and left. And so she was pretty pushy with that. These guys' nickname, do you know what their nickname was? Sons of Thunder. They were a little bit rough around the edges, I would say. And Peter wasn't much different. He's always messing things up. He'd rush into things without thinking. He was very impulsive. Too often he would spout something without even thinking about it. You know, Peter's the one that in the Garden of Gethsemane, he cut off the ear of the high priest's servant. Because he was like, I'm gonna handle this. You know, he's the one that said, I will die for you, Jesus. And then before the night was over, he denied even knowing Jesus three different times. I mean, one day, Peter, James, and John, they're approached by a guy, and this guy wants his son healed. And he asks them, he says, can you guys heal him? Now, we do not know, because Scripture doesn't say, we don't know if they gave it their best try, and they weren't able to do it, or if they quickly gave up and just didn't really pursue it, you know. But here's what we know. The man approaches Jesus, and he says, hey, they couldn't do this, and so I'm asking you to. And listen to this answer Jesus gives. And he's talking to the disciples. How unbelieving and wrong you people are. How long must I stay with you? How long do I have to put up with you? You ever said that? Then he said to the man, bring your son here. And Jesus healed him. But you ever felt like that in your life? Do you ever find yourself talking to your teenagers? And you think, how long do I got to put up with this? You know, you ever at the office and people are kind of acting like children? And you want to throw up your hands and go, how long do I got to put up with this stuff? You know, friends, there's hope. There's hope. In fact, what enabled Jesus to hang in there with the disciples is something that I think would help us. See, Jesus was able to look at them and see their potential. Jesus knew that if they gave God control of their lives, that God would transform them and change them. He knew that if they would allow God to do that, that they could become powerful in the kingdom of God. And if you know anything about history, you know that Peter, James, and John, these three untamed guys, became pillars of the faith that we admire today. You know, Ephesians 3, Paul writes this. He says, God's able to do much more than we ask or think through his power working in us. God's able to do more than we can imagine. And so here's my question. What character trait or traits are hindering you? You know, what character trait needs some adjusting? I mean, which ones need to go? I challenge you to put your personality under God's control and let God start refining you. E, expectations. Expectations. Gentle people put their expectations under God's control. When somebody disappoints you, are you gentle or judgmental? I will tell you that how you respond to that will determine the health of that relationship you have. Elijah, the Old Testament prophet, Elijah had a lot of successes in his life. He had a few failures where he just messed up. But there's a story in 1 Kings 19. He had just had the greatest day of his career, probably. He had defeated the 450 prophets of Baal up on Mount Carmel. He had that showdown with them. Everything looked really good in his life, except one thing. He made Queen Jezebel. He made her mad. She wanted to get rid of him. Why? Because, well, he killed all of her prophets and defeated him. And so Elijah freaks out. You know, he's afraid. He starts running. He ends up running out into the wilderness, and he's hiding out. He's discouraged. God sent an angel, sent a raven, and he was being fed and cared for. But he's in deep, deep depression. In fact, so much so, he keeps saying, I want to die. You know, this life isn't worth it. And the fact is, God was watching out over him. I mean, here's this guy that had done so much, and he's given up. And God asks him at a point, says, Elijah, what are you doing cowering here? What are you doing hiding out and giving up on life? And this conversation, Elijah just kind of spills it. I mean, honestly, it's kind of like a tirade if you read the scriptures. Because he goes, I've been zealous for you, God. These people have rejected you. And they've torn down your altars. And they've killed all your prophets. God, I'm the last one left. I can't take it anymore. I just want to be done. And God instructs Elijah. He says, Elijah, go out and stand on the mountain and wait. Now, if you just felt like you had disappointed God, I want you to think about that. Put yourself in his shoes. God says, enough talk. Go out there and stand and wait on me, and I'll be out in a little bit. What's going through your brain? I mean, what are you thinking about? I imagine that Elijah, as he's walking out there, he's getting more stressed out. Oh no, what's God going to say to me? Oh no. Yeah. God's going to go, what's wrong with you, Elijah? After all the things I've done, you don't trust me? What's this about? I've done all this stuff for you. Why are you so weak? And so he's out there, he's standing and he's waiting and he's rehearsing this stuff. It's going over and over and over and over in his head. Scripture says this, then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart. It shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a what? Gentle whisper. I think Elijah went out there and he was expecting kind of flying fists coming at him. That God was going to scold him. But God whispers gently. I mean, there's no judgment. There's no condemnation. But grace. And I also believe when Elijah went out there, he thought, God's done with me. And the fact is, God was calling him back. Friends, I have blown it so many times, I cannot count. And here's the news, so have you. But God's not waiting. God's not waiting with clenched fists to chew us out. God greets us with open arms. It's like the prodigal son story. You know, the prodigal son, he squandered all of his dad's inheritance that God, that he had given him. And he goes through it, and finally he finds himself with nowhere to go, and he starts back to see his father. He's hanging his head in shame. And I think as he was walking home, he's rehearsing in his head what his dad's going to say to him. You know, he's imagining his dad's going to say, you know, what a failure. I knew you'd blow it all. You always do. The scripture says that's not what happened. I love this verse. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him. Because he'd been watching for him. And he was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. You read on, he says, my son that was lost, he's found. Let's celebrate. Let's have a party. And friends, I will tell you that God has modeled what love and gentleness does. You know, we are to be gentle, Christ followers. You know, Proverbs says, gentle words cause life and health. Griping brings discouragement. Gentleness breathes life. Gentleness, I believe, changes lives. And so when someone doesn't meet with your expectations, when somebody disappoints you, are you gentle or are you judgmental? Which one are you? We're called to be gentle. Think about it this way. In those moments, are you more of a raving wind? You know, blowing everybody around you? You more like an earthquake, you know, that shakes everything? Are you consuming fire that scorches the people around you? Or do you respond with a gentle whisper? I will tell you, there is power in gentleness. And I think Elijah was surprised by God's gentleness. Are you gentle or judgmental? That's the question. A, attitude. Attitude. How's your attitude these days? As you begin to produce the fruit of gentleness in your life, as you begin producing all the fruits that we've been talking about, what happens is your attitude gets affected. You know, your attitude, your perspective, how you see people changes. And how you see people will be determined by two things, your attitude toward them and your actions toward them. Your actions are influenced by your attitude. You know, one day I was working in my office. This was years ago. My grandson, Dason, he was two, he might have been three at the time. He screamed at the top of his lungs. And he said, Grandpa, spider, big spider. And so I sprang into action like a ninja, man. Yeah, I was there. That's my story. I'm going to tell it how I want. I'm going to go protect him. And I'm looking around, and I don't see anything. And by this point, Dason's got a hold of my leg, and he's leaning out. And he's going, Grandpa, get him, get him, get him, get him, get him, get him, get him. And I'm looking, and I don't see. I finally get down, really look. It is the tiniest ant I've ever seen. Itty bitty. My perspective changed. I saw things different. My point is, perspective is a powerful thing. And when we place our perspective, when we place ourselves under God, we start seeing things differently. You know, Paul writes this. He says, look out for one another's interests, not just your own. The attitude you should have is one that Christ Jesus had. Jesus came to this earth. He came with our best intent in mind. And he gave it all up. He was willing to die. He was willing to give everything so that we could have a relationship with God. Friends, when you place yourself under God's control, I will tell you, you will become a more understanding person. You will try to grasp where other people are coming from in their lives. You will be more gracious about their weaknesses, about their limitations, about their struggles. You will find that you find happiness when you give instead of receiving. Your whole attitude changes and you become other-centered. Christ followers are to be other-centered. You know, 2 Peter, Peter writes this, he says, next, learn to put aside your own desires so that you will become patient and godly, gladly letting God have his way with you. This will make possible the next step. Here we go. Which is for you to enjoy other people and like them, and finally you will grow to love them deeply. See, we are to take the next step. We are to become other-centered. And as we do that, what happens is we begin to change and we begin to love people. Gentle people understand other people. They're not demanding of their own way. And that's the kind of life we're to lead. C is communication. Gentle people put their communication under God's control. All their communication. Paul says, don't use harmful words, but only helpful ones that help build up and provide what is needed so that what you say will do good to those who hear. Words are powerful. Words are powerful, and not just words. I want to make it all of our communication. What we communicate, what we say, what we text, what we tweet, what we post out on Facebook or wherever, can either build people up or tear people down. And I will tell you, if it doesn't build people up and it tears them down, you need to stay away from that stuff. You know, James says this. He says, and among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. I read that and I'm like, hello? Ooh, that's a tough passage, isn't it? It's a little bit daunting. James, a few verses later, would say, you cannot tame your tongue. In other words, you got to bring all your communications under the control of God so that God can help you with that. The fact is, you and I, we can try, but we do not know how. God knows how to tame your tongue. You know how? By taming your heart. You know, Luke 6:45, it says, Good people have things saved in their heart. That's why they say good things. But those who are evil have hearts full of evil. And that's why they say things that are evil. What people say with their mouth comes from what fills their heart. In other words, it's a heart issue. What's in your heart will spill onto the people around you. Gentle people think before they communicate. They think before they talk. They think before they text, before they tweet. They pause. They take a breath. Many times, friends, I will tell you, if you just would take a breath, the Holy Spirit starts working. The Holy Spirit will go, don't say that. That's destructive. It's going to be hurtful. It is not going to help the situation. Don't go there. Gentle people put all their communications, under God's care. H, handle with care. As followers of Jesus Christ, we are to handle situations. We are to handle people with care. We are called by God to handle people with care. You know, Christ followers are to be, I saw this term one time, response able. Able to control our responses, to be proactive instead of reactive to life. Reactive people make their decisions based on what's happening. You know, reactive people are driven by their feelings, by the circumstance, by the condition. And they just kind of respond. But proactive people, they handle situations and people with care. You know, let me make a statement. You make me so angry. Is that a true statement? Is it? No. you have a choice. They can't make you anything. You have a choice that you have to make. You can either react, or you can say, you know what, I've got to handle this thing that's frustrating me with care. I've got to do it with care. Handle with care. Handle with care. The other day, it was probably 6 months ago, anyway, I was in the grocery store, and I was walking through the produce section, and all I could smell were peaches. I mean, it was wonderful. It was wonderful. And so I'm like, I need peaches. And so I got some peaches and bagged them up, and I was real careful of putting them in the bag. And then I gently place them in my cart. And I used to work at a grocery store, worked at Kroger's, and I know that you handle produce with care, especially peaches. Why? Because they bruise. And so anyway, I get all my groceries. I get to the checkout lane. I unload. I very gently place them on there. And again, with care, the cashier... cashier grabs the peaches, scans them, and throws them down the lane. I mean, just tosses them. The bagger picks them up, airdrops them into the bag, to which I said, yeah, I don't want the peaches. The cashier goes, why? And I very kindly tried to explain that you have to handle produce with care. And she's like, why? And I go, because if you throw them, then they end up bruised and they'll go bad. And her response to me was, well, they're just peaches. And I'm thinking, peachy. And let's just say I had to weigh my words very, very carefully at that point. And the Holy Spirit's in my head going, careful, gentle, careful, gentle. Yeah, my point, remember to handle with care. Remember to handle with care, whatever it is. Paul says, always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love. Handle people with care. Empathy will help you do that. It'll help you make allowances for people. It'll help you seek first to understand before you need them to understand you. It'll help you seek to gain knowledge about the situation. It'll slow you down. Helps you understand where they're coming from. And it will allow you to handle people with care. We are called by God to do that. Stephen Covey, in his book, Seven Habits of a Highly Effective People, he writes this in his book. I love this line. It says, next to physical survival, the greatest need of a human being is psychological survival. To be understood, to be affirmed, to be validated, to be appreciated. Friends, I will tell you, if you would commit yourself to doing that, it will change every relationship in your life. It will. Handle with care. You know, remember when you listen to other people, you're learning. When you slow down and you invest and try and understand the people that you love, the people you work with, the people you go to school with, it will help you handle them with care and to honor God. Why? Well, it's why. You know, why is gentleness so important? Gentleness is the power of your potential under God's authority and God's strength. Gentle people are not wimps. You know, that's what we think of when we hear gentle. Gentleness, friends, will change how you see people. It'll change your attitude. It'll change how you communicate. It'll change how you treat people. But more than anything, it changes you. It changes me. And that's what we're called to by God. We're going to prepare for a communion. Let's stand and have a word of prayer and then we'll worship. God, we just praise you. God, I pray that your Spirit would continue to guide us, God, that we would just place ourselves under your authority, under your control. God, that your Spirit would direct us what to say, what to do, how to say it. God, I pray that we'd look around us and we'd see people as you see them. God, I pray that you'd produce gentleness in all of our lives. In this world that likes to knock people around, beat people up, I pray that your people could show a different way. That we'd change lives. We'd build up those around us by what we say and do. God, we give you the glory. We give you the praise. God's people said, amen. Let's worship together.